You might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Isaiah and chapter 1. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we do just that with thanksgiving. So here we are. God help us. We think of the babies, the people, the sick, all kinds of needs in all kinds of ways. And then your grace to take care of each one, that we might be a unit honoring you. And our God will thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. If I can, we're in the study of 1 John, at least chapter 1. And in the process, looking at fellowship. So, in order to lock onto that rightly, in the book of Isaiah, God dealing with the 10 tribes in the north and looking to the 2 tribes in the south. And in the process, God brings a fresh diagnosis of their condition. And you remember, if I can. Verse 2, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." And in the process of all of that, verse 3, "The ox knoweth his owner, the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward." Verse 5. "Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more, more and more, more and more. The whole head is sick, the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds, bruises, and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." In other words, you're in a terrible, terrible condition. The equal to that would be in the end of where we are now in the church age. Revelation chapter 3, we don't have any need. And God, with the churches, quote unquote, whatever we are. And God said, "You don't understand. You're wretched, poor, blind, naked. You're in a terrible shape." But we don't see it. Israel did not see it. They did not see their condition. Therefore, chapter 1, what are you going to tell them, God? "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." In other words, God said, listen, verse 18, you're in terrible shape. You don't want to go to court. If you take me to court and push me, said God, and to defend yourself, you're going to lose. I want you to settle the case out of court. That's what I want you to do. Let's reason. You're in terrible shape, and I am going to help you in a most wonderful way. All you have to do is honor me. Look to me. You're rebelling. Don't rebel anymore. Honor me. That's what you have to do. And let's settle it. Don't go to court. You won't come out good. Now, how could we possibly, God, in the light of our condition, Romans, Isaiah chapter 1, from head to toe, we're in terrible shape. So God, how are we going to do that? Well, God says to come as you are, and let's put this thing together in the light of your condition, from head to toe, you need to be saved. I am the Savior. Therefore, slide over, if I can, to Isaiah 43. Isaiah in chapter 43, picking up, if I may. And you'll catch it. Verse 25, light of the context. Isaiah 43, 25. Now, God, why are you saying settle out of court? Why would you say that when we're in such terrible shape? Because you are in such terrible shape, you're never going to get saved the way you are. You need a Savior. Genesis 3:15, God, the seed of the woman, God has provided a Savior. Now, slide through history all the way to here. Isaiah 43, verse 25. I, even I, am he that blotteth out. I am blotting out. I continue to blot out. What? Thy transgressions. Why are you doing it, God? For mine own sake, and I will not remember. I am not remembering. I'm not remembering thy sins. I'm not doing it. But we're terrible, Romans chapter, Isaiah 1, from head to toe. That's right, said God. But you know, the solution isn't you fixing it. God has to fix it in his grace. Now, one other spot where you're here, they didn't understand. God is telling them there's a wonderful Savior that's going to die on the cross. And therefore, based on that, he's going to bear all the sin. The Lamb of God is going to bear the sin of the world in his own body on the tree. That's what he's going to do. Therefore, God, are you going to deal with us after our sin? No. No, I'm dealing with you in the light of my son's death on the cross, that you need to be saved. And I already have done it. I'm telling you, I have blotted out your sins. I've already done this. So let's reason together. Let's get this in order. Why don't you just believe me and thank me? Chapter 44, verse 22, again. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. All you got to do is fess up your terrible shape. Just get in front of me and I'll fix it for you. It's already done. You don't have to fix anything. You're dead in sins. You need to be saved. I'm the Savior. I'm going to go to the cross. That's my plan. So I don't want you to sit down and try to figure out how to fix each of your sins. I don't want you to have to do that. I want you to understand, because you can't fix them. You have to come as you are and believe. That's what you got to do, because I've already did it. It's already done. That's what he told them way back there. They just had to believe. He didn't ask them to fix their dumb heart with all of its problems. He asked them to believe and come and receive his wonderful saving grace that he would provide on Calvary's cross. Now, moving along in history. Oh, if I can, you know Christ is going to go to the cross and die, no question, for the sin of the world. Having done that, he's going to die for sin. Now, Peter, a Jew, a very devoted Jew, fisherman, a Jew. And over, if I can, to Acts, book of Acts in chapter 10. Acts in chapter 10. And if I may, Peter is to go to Cornelius the Gentile, to the Gentiles. Peter's a Jew. The Gentiles are uncircumcision. They aren't saved. The Jews not, the Gentiles, I should, excuse me, the Gentiles are out of place. They aren't saved. We're Jews. The Jews are under the law. The Jews are God's special people. They're not the Gentiles. And so Peter now, Christ has died on the cross and risen again, and the God good news is to everybody. So therefore, here's Peter, and he has a problem because he's being sent to the Gentiles. God has to help him. Remember, the animals came down, the clean and unclean, etc. Now, chapter 10, verse 15. I'll read verse 14, a little context. In verse 13, and there came a voice to him, arise, Peter, kill and eat. But they're unclean animals. You can't eat unclean. We're Jews. Huh? But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. I'm not going to violate my Jewishness. No. And the voice spake unto him, verse 15, again the second time, what God hath cleansed, clean, purified. What God has cleansed, that call not common. Now remember what you're leading back over to 1 John, and we are clean through the word which he has spoken. The blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us from all sin. Keep that in mind, because here's Peter, and Peter says, listen, they're Gentiles. No, God said he died for the sin of the world, Jew and Gentile. And Peter, you need to do it. So Peter ends up going over to chapter 11. And what's he going to tell? Chapter 11 and in verse 9. What are you going to tell these Gentiles? Verse 9. But the voice answered again from heaven. I'll read a little bit background. Chapter 11, verse 7. I heard a voice saying unto me, arise, Peter, and slay the eat. But I said, not so, Lord, I for nothing common or unclean, hath at any time entered into my mouth. Verse 9, 11, 9. But the voice answered me again and from heaven, what God hath cleansed, call now thou common. God is not, they're not unsaved. They're set apart, they're special. So when they have the great council in Jerusalem, Acts chapter 15, Peter, what are you going to say again? Chapter 15. And picking up, please, in verse 9. And put no difference, the Gentiles, put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. So, verse 7, and when there had been much disputing, this is 15:7, and when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Verse 8, and God which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. Verse 9, put no difference between us and them, purifying, there's your word, purifying their hearts by faith. So what are you doing? Well, how are the Gentiles getting in? They aren't good guys, no. They're going to get in the same as the Jew gets in, by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ in a most wonderful way. Verse 14, purpose. Verse 14, 15, 14. Simeon, Peter, saith, hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles for what reason? To take out of them a people for his name. That's what he's doing right now. The Jews rejected him. The Gentiles rejected him. God is taking Jew and Gentile. Remember 1 Corinthians 10? There's the Gentile, and there's the Jew, and now there's another creation in out there called the Church of God. It's his creation. Here we are sitting here. We are his special creation, Jew and Gentile. God has done something wonderful to show his saving grace to the world. That's what he's doing. He's taking a people out of whosoever's to believe. A special people in a time of terrible unbelief. Taking a people out for his name. That's what he's doing. It's a very special time. And to see the specialness, Titus. Titus in chapter 2. And you will note, Titus 2, sliding over if I can, I'll read verse 13 since it's a reminder. Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. For us. Why? That purpose. He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify, there's the word cleanse, to purify, to cleanse unto himself a peculiar, special, prized, privileged people, his church, the body, zealous of good works. God is doing something special. It isn't the Jews, no, Jews are waiting. The Gentiles, no, they need Jew and Gentile. They need to be saved and look to God in a most wonderful way. When Christ died on the cross, he finished. John 19, he finished. In those 3 hours, 12 to 3 o'clock, he bore my sin and yours on Calvary's cross. It's finished. He's done. That's why Isaiah, let us reason together. Because it's going to be finished. It isn't something that's never going to happen. It has happened. And as far as the Isaiah is concerned, it already is in effect. And God has given them, and they believed they had a check from God, a check that God would save them. And when Christ died on the cross, that check was valid. God paid off. The check can be cashed. God saves them based on what he did. Isaiah, that's why you're saved. That's why the Jew is saved. That's right. Now, having said that, add to that, if I may. You need that to understand because people get all confused sometime. Over if I can. In the light of that, God's finished it in his wonderful grace. He's made him 2 Corinthians 5:21, made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The righteousness of God. But we didn't do anything. No, we didn't. We didn't do a blessed thing. No, God said, settle the case out of court. Don't go to court. Believe. No, I'm going to stand before you, God, at the judgment seat of Christ, Revelation 20. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Don't do that. No one's going to make it. So don't do that. I want you to settle out of court. Now, so therefore, sliding if I can, over to the book of Romans, and Romans in chapter 4, and reminding, Romans in chapter 4, picking up please, in verse 5 directly. This is about Abraham, remember. I'll read verse 3, I guess, context. 4:3, Romans. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not calculated, reckoned is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. In other words, if you're going to earn it and you want to stand and give an account in court, you're going to flunk out because you have no way to pass the to get through the court, to get through the judgment. God had to bear your judgment and mine on Calvary's cross. Verse 5. But to him that worketh not. No, it isn't anything about our credit, our good or bad, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness, it's imputed. And remember, we did all this a while back. Your faith, you're going to believe. Here you are, you're going to believe God. Little, you'll never see it back there. This little card, it says faith. You can't see it. Faith, 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 F. What are you going to do? I'm going to believe. What am I supposed to do? Believe God. Believe God. That's what he said. Believe I'm going to. I died on the cross for your sin. It's all finished. I blotted it out. I forgot it. It's done. Finished. Believe it. But, no buts. Just believe. And when you believe, Abraham believed God, believed his word, and it was counted to him for righteousness. That's what he did. He believed, and when he did his part, God did his part. You believe Jesus Christ is the right one for the right reasons to save you. That's what he did. And you believed. And therefore, it's counted to you for righteousness. Wonderful, 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 wonderful. Chapter 4, in verse 20. Speaking of Abraham, I'll read verse 19 even. And being not weak in faith, he considered his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, and neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. For he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded of what he had promised, he was able to perform. In other words, God said, I'm able to save you and give you a righteousness. Therefore, because Abraham believed God, he didn't do anything, he just believed. And God did it. That's called grace. Verse 22, therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, so where do we fit in, God? Now, as it was not written for his sake alone, God, you didn't do all this for nothing. No, not at all. That it was not imputed to him. Verse 24. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification, to be declared right, to declare us right. But we're wrong. But God is going to go to justify the action. What did you do, God? We were guilty as could be. God has acquitted us and treated us as innocent. So when God looks, he sees the blood of his son that is already done. And we settle. I agree. I'm for it. I settle out of court. I want it. God, thank you. That's all we can say. Think of our study in Sunday school. To praise God, to thank him. That's all you can do. Just thank him. Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Wow. So now, without taking time, I'll go over there. Why not? On your way, 1 Corinthians. Why do we need to lock this in afresh? You won't appreciate 1 John 1:7 and 8 and 9 and 10. You won't appreciate it unless you got a locked on of why. What's so wonderful about the blood of Christ? What's so awesome about it? Hang on. Now, so here we are. And in the process, 1 Corinthians, picking up, please, in chapter 1, and we'll go over to verse 30. Chapter 1, verse 30, Christ. And you know verse 29, 1 Corinthians 1:29, that no flesh, N-O, no human anything shall glory in his presence. But of God are you in Christ Jesus, who? Of God. God did it. I didn't do it. You didn't do it. God did it. Who made? God made Christ unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. God did it. Christ is your life. Period. And anything you need to enjoy life. Whose life? God's life. God has given it to you in Christ. God gave you in your birth the physical functioning of your body to enjoy planet Earth and the heartbeats and the blood flows. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God gives you His Son, and in His Son, you have all that He is. He provides the relationship, fellowship. He provides the relationship to enjoy, to exercise. How can I enjoy God? As a son in the Son. God, thank you. I don't deserve that. No, you don't. No, neither do I. It's our privilege. In God's grace, I settle out of court. No. God, I want to go on your terms. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sin in a most wonderful way. Romans chapter 7. Romans in chapter 7. You'd recall what God did on the cross. Here is an accounting of it. We're righteous. And in Romans chapter 7, picking up, please, in verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law. The law, what's the law say? The wages of sin is death. That's right. The law says you have to die. Christ fulfills every jot and tittle, every part of the law, Matthew 5:17. He fulfills all the law. So the law says death. Christ went to the cross and bore my sin and yours. How so? He died. The wages of sin is death. He died. That's what he did. Therefore, what are you saying? Romans 7, verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, also you believe you are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. So God not only took us to the cross, he rose again to bring to us that relationship. Verse 5, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But when we got saved, verse 6, but now are you delivered from the law, that you didn't, the law didn't change. You just, the law says death, and my death die. I died. That being, verse 6, the law that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of law spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Now, God, so what do you want? We're to be looking to you, God, in righteousness to make it all work. Sliding over, if I can, to chapter 10. And in chapter 10, picking up, please, in verse 2. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, is Israel, but not according to knowledge. They're doing what they're doing, but it isn't going to do any good. People do all kinds of things, but it won't do any good. Verse 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So they're trying to make everything right that's wrong. Think of Isaiah again in chapter 1. How am I going to fix from head to toe? Job, how are you going to fix from head to toe? By looking to God. God has to do it. That's what Isaiah, that's what Israel, they need to understand. God has to do it. God has done it. It's finished. Therefore, even though way back in Isaiah's day, you can thank God that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you. It hasn't happened yet, but you can thank God for it now, having going down, if I can. In chapter 10, verse 4, reason, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. That's the end. Now, I need to add. What are you going to add? What are you going to say? What are you going to do? You thank God it's finished. It's done. So you don't have to go and, what am I going to do to get better, to grow? No, it's finished. You need to exercise the fact that it's finished and that you have a relationship to God that needs to be practiced and honored and enjoyed in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Therefore, add to that now what you know, over again to Colossians. In Colossians in chapter 3. And in chapter 3, Colossians, picking up in verse 3. For we are dead. Now, all of it's related. Christ died on the cross, we died. For, that's what we understand. We're to understand we are dead. And our life is hid with Christ in God. And by the way, Christ is the end of the law. He brings everything to us that we don't have, our righteousness, justification, everything. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Wow. Now, God, how can that be? Because, chapter 2 and in verse 12, buried with him by baptism. Remember Christ, Romans chapter 6, buried with him by baptism, wherein also you were risen with him through faith of the knowledge of the operation of God, believe God, and counted to him for righteousness, who hath raised him from the dead. He paid the penalty, it's finished. Verse 13, and you, being dead, Christ took us to the cross, and when he died in my place and yours. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened and made alive together with him, that's why he rose again, having forgiven you all trespasses. That's what he did. That's what he did. And all means all. All. That's a pile. From the day you were born to the day you die, you collect them. Your old sin nature just collects them. But what do you know? When you came to know the Lord as your Savior, God took you to the cross. You understand God took you to the cross and paid the penalty for every single sin. Each, like in 1 John 1:9, each and every sin, he's cleansed. He's forgiven. That's the only way you can get saved. Each and every sin. Each and every sin. As we collect them. As we walk in the light. Each and every sin. Gone. Settle out of court. Don't go to court with me and try to justify anything. No. You thank God that you can believe and that I, God, makes things right. The righteousness that you have, that you need, is mine, and I have given it to you in Christ Jesus. And therefore the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Now, back over to 1 John. Over in 1 John, picking up, if I may, and you will note, in 1 John, in verse 7, if, and by the way, there's five ifs, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, ifs, if, all of those are third class conditions. They may or may not be. Some if is, yes, it's true. Some if, it isn't true. This is a possibility. It could be, it may not be. If you may. Verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, is cleansing us from all sin. That's what it's doing. That's what's doing. The wonderful blood. He shed his blood on Calvary's cross. So that what? We could be saved. That's what he did. How do you know we can be saved? Because he rose again. See, I could die and never do it. You could die and never do it. He did it. He bore my sin. The sinless Son of God bore our sin in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead, should live. And he rose again to give us a relationship to God. How can we have a relationship to God? Because Christ paid the penalty on Calvary's cross and died. That's why we can have a relationship. It's, what's the relationship? It's based on his shed blood that he died. And who, where is, what kind of life do we have? We have a relationship to God, the risen Savior. And our relationship is to be exercised in the life. Your life is hid with Christ in God, like you read in Romans 7. Newness of life. Wonderful, wonderful. Newness of spirit. Wow. A unique relationship to God. We can have that in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, and you walk in the light. We've been looking at that. Walk in light. Light makes it so you can see. If you have no light, you can't see. Can't see. So, but if we walk in the light, that means in the light of God. God is light, remember, 1 John 1:5. God is light, and him is no darkness. So when I'm walking with God, I have to be in the light. I can't have any fellowship with God in the dark. I can't do it. If I leave God out, I choose not to abide as a branch, I choose not to be believing. That doesn't mean I'm not saved. It just means I'm not resting in the finished work of Christ. I'm caught up in my whatever. So I'm looking for God. And as I look to God and rest in God, I enjoy his finished work. That's what he does. He died and cleansed me and gave me a wonderful relationship to himself. I'm to walk in the light. I'm a sinner saved by grace, and I walk in the light. I walk with God. If I leave God out, if I don't believe, I cover my eyes, I'm in the dark. I'm in the dark. And as long as I cover my eyes, carnal, fleshly, I lost the light. I lost the word. I lost the privilege of understanding that God has taken all my sin. And I'm walking in the dark. And if I walk in the dark, God isn't in the dark. Therefore, verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, if we are saying, if we're going to say, if we should say, no sin, no sin, no sin. And therefore, if we're going to say that, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So God, if I say, I have no sin, I have no sin, but you do. You do. But you don't, I'm not a bad guy. No. How do we honor God? By recognizing, why did Christ die on the cross for you? He bore your sin in his own body on the tree. To deny that, he bore your sin nature. He took care of every sin from the day you were born to the day you die. He did it and he finished it. And to deny that, you're denying his work. To say you have no sin, you can't do that. I know there are people that do that. But man, all you got to do is be around him for a couple of minutes, and you'll know that their sin is just like you, just like you are. So don't worry about it. All the people say they have no sin, I know I'm not a bad guy, stay with them, and you'll know. Why? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and we insult God. You can't say that. You've got an old nature, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, until God takes you home. And we did it. We did it. We did it to remind you. We did it. Here's your old nature and your old nature. It's always there. And you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he saves you. You still got this in your head when you go to bed, when you get up. It's still in you. It's you. But God has saved you. And his blood cleanses you from all sin. It isn't going away. And you deceive yourself if you don't recognize this. You see? That's why you're being forgiven. That's what the wonderment is, that God has forgiven you. Every dumb thing you think and thought and do and say and could do, he's forgiven you. That's how you can get saved in a most wonderful, wonderful way. But you have to understand that. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We're liars. You can't do that. You insult God. You say, well, I'm not as bad as you. Wrong. I'm worse than you. How's that? You betcha. No, sir, no. That's why, because we're saved. We give God credit and honor for who he is and what he's doing in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Over if I can, please, so you can see. Deceive. To be deceived, to go astray, to lead astray. Over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians and chapter 6. And if I'm trying to see if I can get it clear enough in my little head. I'm trying to get us to understand, get myself to understand, that all that's happening in my old nature, all that's going on here in my old nature, all of that is there right now. And good thoughts, bad thoughts, all kinds. But I thank God, I'm going to thank God for his cleansing blood that cleanses me from all sin. I thank God. I'm not trying to solve my heart's problem. It's got a terrible problem, and God has to take me home to get rid of this body, but it's there. So I'm not sitting down and beating myself to death because of my old nature. I'm not going to sit down, oh, I did it again. You ever said that? I did it again. You remember the guy that said that? He went to the fellow, the pastor, and he said, listen, I've confessed my sin 10,000 times, and 10,000, and I keep confessing it. And the suggestion was, you should get tired of doing that. Anyway, suggestion was, why don't you switch it and say thank you to God. Say thank you to God 9,999 times and confess your sin once. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now all the rest, next 9,999, say thank you. Say thank you 9,999 times. Don't say, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Got it. Now, in the process, chapter 6, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. There's your little word that you have in 1 John 1:8. Be not deceived, tricked, misled, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, or adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor reviters, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And verse 11, but such were some of you. But you are washed, but you are sanctified, and you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. God saved you. You rascal, God saved you. God saved you. That's right, from every sin. That's what God did in a most wonderful way. You were there, and you got an old nature. If you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself, and the truth is not in you. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Don't say that. Don't say that. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from every sin. Period. We did it in Isaiah. Old Testament, New Testament, Calvary's cross. God, you died on the cross, it's finished. I did it. Now you learn to believe what I've done. Now, in the silly thing, if they make believe this is a $500 bill, if you get one, hang onto it, by the way. If you find a $500 bill, remember they used to be? You probably have some, do you? $500. If you find one, keep it. Keep it. And if you live a little longer, inflation will make it down to $400. Anyway, hang it. Now, here we are. Here we are. God, you've done a wonderful thing, and you saved us in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And so in the process, God, we thank you very much for cleansing us from all sin. And in the process, God, it's finished. So, God gave me his righteousness. His righteousness. Thank you. I'm not trying to get it. I'm not trying to get this. God gave it to me and to you in Christ Jesus when he died on the cross. I just want to thank him for what he has already given. If I had my father back again, and my father back then, and we need to, Dad, do you have 25 cents? 25 cents. And my dad would give me 25 cents. And then I'd turn around, walk out of the room, and walk back in again, and said, Dad, would you give me 25 cents? And my father would look at me, what did I just give you? 25 cents. Why are you asking me for something I've already given you? I've already given you forgiveness. Why are you asking me for forgiveness when I already gave it to you? Why are you asking it when I already gave it to you? And that's back to the illustration. I've said, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. And you don't want to do that. You got the idea. Closing. Psalm 32. This is sort of jumping ahead, but hopefully, Psalm 32. And if I may, picking up, please. Remember David? And David spent a year mourning and groaning about his sin. Not doing that right now, but hang on. Here's what's he going to do. What did David do? David said, Oh, God, will you please forgive me? Forgive me, God. Do you remember him saying that? No, he didn't say that. What did he say in the Old Testament? What did he know? Psalm 32, sliding down to verse 5. I acknowledge my sin unto thee and mine iniquity. I confess my sin, and thou art faithful and just to forgive my sin. That's right. That's John 1:9. This is Psalm 32, verse 5. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and that's all I'm going to do. And God, what are you going to know? Thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. That's all I did is confess. God, you already forgave it. David, did you know that? Yeah, I did. I did. I didn't beat myself to death for 3 years. For 1 year, he did. He didn't do that. No, he knew it. God forgave me. You say that isn't right. You deserve to be beaten a little more. You got to be beaten a little more. No, if you confess your sin in 3 milliseconds, you're done with it. But you still feel it. You still think it. But God is finished with it. You confess your sin, you're back in the light. Why? Because the light says you've got an old nature. And you don't deny that. And you don't deny that you didn't do some stupid thing or say something. You don't do that. You agree. You agree. And it's done. It's done. And you get up. But you don't deserve it. You rascal, you should be spanked some more. No more spanking. Get up and get going. Don't get depressed. Get unpressed. Get up. Stand up. That's what to do. But you don't deserve it. It isn't a question of that. Christ died on the cross to save you. He's done. And you recognize he's done and you honor it. And you're giving honor to God. If you're going to sit there and linger and think about it some more, that isn't it. No, you confess it and you're done. And you honor God, who's finished. I got to quit. No. Your faith, looking to God, believe, and God counts it as righteousness. You don't deserve one drop of this, but boy, it's one real truth, and you better enjoy it. You don't deserve one drop of this, but God has done it. Thank you. 10,000 thank yous. I gotta quit. Our Father and God, we thank you for thy word and help us a little bit as we work our way through this to lock it on, that God would practice being and enjoying your saving grace in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And our God, it is our privilege to be doing just this. So let us do it with zeal and exercise and help us understand. And Spirit of God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for what you've made possible. Spirit of God, that what you were able to make possible, and Father, that you'd be pleased with the whole process. And our Father will thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.